It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You're totally right, by the way, about Prince. That's a thing that all guys have to say. All, like, rock dudes have to go, yeah, well, it's only because he's such a freaking guitarist.
And I just noticed that yesterday, like, when we're like, oh, yeah, I like Prince, but, you know, just because of his guitar playing.
Guitar really well. Totally. It's because otherwise they have to admit that they like a really effeminately flamboyant bisexual midget. I mean, that's just odd if you're a guy. So guys have to go, no, I just... There's probably another example there somewhere. Well, that's like the Playboy, that's the maggot Playboy for the articles thing, the Prince for the guitar playing. Rick, you are in the movie A Day Called X. There is a radio DJ that looks just like you speaking on a CBS radio microphone in a small studio just like your old studio. Well, I don't even remember that.
Were you, like, secretly videotaped?
Tim, do you have any idea what this is? I'm not... This is just weird.
It sounds like somebody is updating the original.
Updating or altering? I mean, I guess my whole thing is... Let's be very clear. I mean, I don't care.
There's plenty of footage of all of us. You know, on the internet.
I guess that's true. I'll be very clear. I don't care about it. It's just weird because I don't remember it. So, usually I remember if there's a camera pointed at me somewhere. All right. It's 503-7... by the way, when I was moving into my new office over the weekend, I found a bunch of stuff. I feel really bad. I found a bunch of things that people had dropped off as, like, Christmas presents for us. That
ooh, Christmas presents?
Ended up in a big box that got shoved behind a cabinet in my old office that I never saw. So I apologize. If you dropped off a Christmas gift for us around the holidays and you never heard back from me, it's not because I'm an ingrate and an a-hole, although I am both of those things. It's because I didn't really realize you'd given us anything. So my apologies. You remember that guy who did the missile command? That guy, William Carlton, who did it was trying to get the world high score in missile command?
Uh-huh.
Apparently they've made a whole... they've made a whole documentary about it. We've each received a DVD copy of that
ooh
documentary.
Oh, that's nice.
But then this is the real...
Oh, there's some wrapped presents over
okay
there.
Okay, but look at this. I've got two right here. You hear this? These are beautiful. Very beautifully wrapped Christmas presents.
Little bows and everything.
But get this. One for Sarah, one for Scotty. Nothing for Tim, nothing for Rick.
That's all.
So,
right.
Scotty J, I know you're going to hear this 40 seconds later, but Scotty J, if you please to be coming to the studio when you hear this.
I bet if you type it, you'll know.
Wait, hold on. Is there a 40-second delay in typing?
Scotty.
To studio.
Come here. Now.
You'll think he's in trouble.
All right. Come here now.
Okay, that's been about 40 seconds.
All right, there you go. So this is really gripping. You're going to hear somebody opening a present that's not yours on the air. So this is to Sarah from S. Claus.
It could be jewelry, judging from the size of the box.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who it is. So, somebody, some guy dropped M&M's? Off Christmas gifts for us. And when I say us, I mean, it's not my present. Go ahead. Somebody dropped off a wrapped present for Sarah and a wrapped present for Scotty. Nothing for me, nothing for Tim.
These are so pretty.
What are they?
They're little, like, wind chime earrings.
Oh, those aren't...
And they make noises.
Okay. They came with a little...
Oh, I like those.
I mean, do you like those?
Actually, I do. Mm-hmm. I think I could rock them.
I think they'd be very becoming.
I can't tell. I mean, I'm not trying to poke fun. I'm just saying
they'd be hooked up.
I can't tell what's
earrings.
I can't tell what's. I can't tell what's.
Well, you certainly
classy. What's trashy?
No, these aren't trashy at all.
All right, Scotty's typing. I'm on my way. I swear to God, the studio's 5 seconds away from here. All right, oh, here he is. All right, let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show, or PA Scotty J. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning.
All right.
How's
that top five coming?
Done.
All right, Scotty is going to be presenting the top five songs to which he gets down and makes love.
Ew.
So, Scotty,
yikes.
All right, Scotty, this is for you. This is a Christmas present from a listener.
Well, that's great.
Open it now, please.
Okay.
All right.
Scotty's from Santa Claus.
And I would like to note again, I'm in no way am I feeling left out or carrying a grudge because Sarah and Scotty got something and Tim and I were passed over.
We've received many presents over the years, so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've had more than enough.
What do you have? What is it, Scotty?
This is the Partridge Family, the Hits, and David Cassidy.
Same thing. It's the Father Count. That's somebody who knows.
Didn't you?
That would
be
want that anyway.
David
that's somebody who knows what you're into, Scotty.
That's awesome.
All right, thank you. Do we have the furry guy coming in today? Do we know that?
I've talked to him.
I've heard rumors.
All right, so he
hope he doesn't end up in a box under a desk somewhere.
All right, he's coming in the 2 o'clock hour. All right, we'll talk to Peter Carlin at the bottom. Thank you. All right, well, let's get these calls, and then we'll play this audio from Friday when all of the I just hung up on somebody by mistake. Damn my metal body. Josh, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. I've heard you guys talking about the Prince stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of working in and out. Did you guys talk about the Billy Joel mess?
We just talked about how...
I missed that, but he sounded awful.
He sounded retarded. I didn't watch that part because I didn't really feel the need to. I listened back to it. He sounded wooden and retarded. Did it look bad?
Well, it looked bad, and the thing was, I mean, I kind of do music a little bit for fun on the side, but they had him running through, I think, the auto-tune. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, it's a thing that corrects you when your pitch is off.
Right, and so it just sounded like someone was punching him in the Adam's apple every couple of seconds.
Here's how I know, not that I, this is a funny thing. I'm working on a little side project, which I think actually, according to CBS rules, I don't think I'm allowed to discuss. I'm really curious about this, actually, because it doesn't... CBS is this whole thing where you can't mention or direct people to any service or product or outside project you have if you're going to make money on it. And I'm curious as to whether that's the case if the product doesn't exist yet. Because I'm working on this outside project that actually doesn't even exist. You couldn't buy it if you tried. It doesn't exist.
The thing is, nothing we ever do ever makes any money.
Well, that's the thing. You should know that. We know that going into it. You know, we're given this lecture. It could make money. Oh, you don't know us. We never make a dime on anything. It's been going on here for years.
That's the thing. Yeah, so Tim and I, and you know, and Sarah does some stuff too. Sarah does the model.
A wide variety of money losing prices.
Yeah, we engage. We do all of these outside projects, all of which end up costing me thousands of dollars, and none of which ever make me any money. And just because you can't mention it if you're going to make money, I'm not going to.
Mine, nobody can find.
I can mention it all day, and I'm not going to make any money anyway. So I am working on this outside project. I can say this from the creative team that brought you Bigger Than Jesus. I am currently working on an outside project. Anyway, blah blah blah. It involves some music and some singing and so forth. And this is a phrase that during one of my recent vocal sessions, this was a phrase used a lot. Hey, no, don't worry. This is like the click of the producer talking back to me.
But don't worry about it. We're going to run that one through the auto tuner. So don't worry about holding the note or finding your pitch or staying on key in any way. We'll fix that. You know, that's
exactly.
It. But that, so you're saying that.
But what I'm saying is that he was usually like, if you're not that far off, that you won't notice it that much.
Right.
But if it sounds like, you know, it's all techno-y, that means you're way off. So he was just horrible, and I couldn't believe they were running.
Let me hold on. Let me think. Sorry. I think I've got it here. Hold on. This is Billy Joel. Hold on.
The hot dog vendor at Yankee Stadium.
He just sounds drunk.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Did he look like he was in bad shape?
Yeah, he did. He looked out of place, but all it right. was just bad.
All right, that's thanks, Josh. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, there you go. Yeah, so. Yeah, so it's both great and embarrassing when they do that to you because I'm doing my best to find like a note or whatever when I see this thing, and then I'll give it like 800 or 900 tries, and he's like,
yeah, just take 5, we'll fix it.
And then on the one hand you're glad, on the other hand you realize it's just because you lack any musical ability or talent at all. So there you go. So Billy Joel and I have that in common. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I'm never going to forgive you for putting the image of Clyde Lewis bowling with urine in my head.
It's what I do, sir.
Two things. There's a really, really good movie that Jenny McCarthy appears in peripherally.
That's not true.
No, because it's terrible.
Okay.
It's a python. The definitive moment in the movie is when this colossal snake, like 60 feet long or some crap, is attacking a girl in the shower.
Uh-huh.
He tries to blind it with shampoo. Does not work. Rapid zoom into the bottle where it says, no tears formula.
Okay, that's funny. Is this like, it's like a B-horror film?
Yeah, it's got Casper Van Dien and Robert Englund.
Oh, Robert Englund, the mark of quality.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And the other thing, did anybody else hear when they were announcing the players for the team, there was some guy whose last name was Muhammad, and a bunch of people in the crowd booed him.
No, really? What team was he playing for?
He was on the Bears. I think he was the guy who ran in the first touchdown.
And it was
sports.
And it was and playing tailback, blah blah blah, Muhammad, and then the crowd booed.
You just kind of hear boo.
Behold the joys of alcohol.
People are different.
I don't like things that are not like me.
Yeah, I was just looking for Borat.
Seriously, he really should have, you know, I wonder if he feels he miscalculated. Really, it would have been priceless to have a Super Bowl scene in Borat. That's the only thing that would have made that movie even better.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Okay, Python. I wonder if I can rent that somewhere. God bless you. Excellent. Thank you, Kevin. There you go. And he was going to say something, but now it's too late. All right, that's Kevin. There you go. Thank you. I don't want your life.
That's what I was thinking that whole time.
All right. Do we have the audio? All right. If you're on, the guy who sent us the presents is on hold. We'll talk to him in a while. Okay, this is from Friday. So we gave the sad recap of, you've already heard the rest of the story. So on Friday, we had been given this big build-up that Art Alexakis was going to be joining, was going to be in the building anyway, and again, with whom we have a long and tumultuous history, and he doesn't like us very much. Not that that's about to change anytime soon. So we did not realize that his appearance got canceled by KUFO. We announced on the air that they canceled the appearance because Everclear were apparently being kind of jerky. We announced this all on the air. Then they showed up because no one told them it was canceled. And we revealed all of this on the air, not knowing that Art and Everclear were in the break room where Tim Riley had turned our program on the radio. So we're now going to play this segment from Friday's show. So everything you're about to hear, this is when Court and Fatboy join us in the studio. Keep in mind that everything you're about to hear was playing on the stereo system in the break room.
Well, not the first couple of minutes, because
When they come in, realize that when they come in, they walk right to the break room where our radio program is playing. Go ahead. This is Friday. This is from Friday's Rick Emerson Show, courtesy of the 2:30-something?
2:37.
I don't think we've seen Art Alexakis yet.
He's canceled.
He canceled?
He may have missed the bus. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from our sister station, KUFO, Corden Fatboy, evening 6 to 9. Hello.
Yeah. We're not going to say who canceled, but it is canceled.
If I guess who canceled, will you tell me whether I'm right or wrong?
Okay.
Was it KUFO that canceled it?
Yes.
What reason do you have to actually even be here?
It's another show. I don't even want to discuss it.
Goodwill tour.
Yeah, there you go. I don't even use
the Goodwill tour. Is that after the Value Village tour?
Art is playing a show apparently this weekend, but it's terrible.
Hello. I was just thinking if I'd be silent, you'd elaborate. Is there a suitable
replacement?
No, it's not my story.
I mean, yeah. You are a radio ghost guy, so if I just have dead air, you'll eventually speak to
it. I don't want to elaborate because it's not my show, so.
Court,
bring in the other show to talk to them about it.
Let's not. It's 503-733-2978.
Was it hugging?
I'm saying it's all about you. This is your time in the Rick Emerson spotlight.
Really?
Michelle, how you feeling? We got the, by the way, we have a bunch of people who've, we mentioned today that we were going to have you guys on, and we got a bunch of calls. I'm not blowing a sunshine, because there's other guys that did the George W. Bush boy president. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So you have fans. You have fans in the Emerson audience.
Thank you.
Well, tell everybody what's going on tonight at the Baghdad.
Tonight, Baghdad Fight Club.
Don't go.
It's Friday.
It's a pre-recording announcement.
And it's part of our little series we got going on, and we've been trying to do Fight Club for a long time, and we've been waiting to try and get Chuck Palahniuk in. We've been begging to get Chuck Palahniuk in, and that's not going to happen.
Put your exhale back.
Yeah. we've been begging. I contacted his people many times, and they have given us a resounding nothing.
We're basically asking friends of his who live in the area and listen to our show, which is maybe half of one on their way to NPR or something.
Right.
But to maybe sell him out somewhat for swag.
Is this
T-shirts, keychains, things like that?
Chuck Palahniuk's really going to go for that.
Oh,
who doesn't want a KUFO
radio
t-shirt?
Station keychain? Would you like a beach ball that says K-Light? Come on!
Just like our station swag. That'd be the good stuff.
Yeah.
And we don't have any of our own stuff. I guess we have t-shirts now, but we don't have any. All we have
is Vizo.
Yeah, we have Vizo, and we have coffee cups from outdated formats that no longer exist in the kitchen.
Yeah, but those are world-changing coffee cups.
Right. And we had some Tony Danza show mugs. That was about it.
Priceless, man.
So what time does that start?
11 o'clock tonight. Even though it's called the Midnight Movie, it starts at 11 o'clock.
Because the big game is coming up on Sunday. We're talking about the greatest sports teams ever. Court, greatest sports
teams. The cursor over.
I
want to get to the point where... Yeah.
Well, Corey, you might want to throw in your headphones while you're walking by.
See, this is Ethan. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson thing at the same time. I just kind of bounce back and forth in between.
Fantastic.
Does it go back to
oldies? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Too soon.
Are you going to play the sounder?
No, I don't
know. Come on.
There it is. I don't have my
I think it's right here.
Sounder. All right, excellent. Fight Club, Baghdad, 11 o'clock tonight.
Wait.
There we go.
Art,
I wonder if Art knows. Okay,
that's
what
I got. Scraggly haired.
Hold on. Hey, Art Alexakis, dude. I'm whispering.
Like, there aren't speakers in the hallway.
No, he doesn't know
what's been canceled. Oh,
who's going to break the? Who's going to break it to him?
Maybe they tape it out.
Yeah, Scotty J needs to break the news. Seriously, I thought
he doesn't.
Oh, someone's coming down the hallway.
Someone's coming down the hallway.
Okay. I swear to God.
Somebody with a very long concern.
Hold on. Here's what just happened. So Art Alexakis and a scraggly band of misfits who now pass for Evercade walked by us.
Pause it here.
He doesn't know. This is... Okay. Now this, from here, from this point,
scraggly
he's
band
in...
misfits?
Yeah. From this point, he has reached the break room, and they are now in the break room where this radio program is being broadcast. So everything from when I say Art Alexakis and his scraggly band of misfits that now pass for Everclear, from that point on, they're hearing everything I say, which I don't realize at the time. Thank you, Tim.
This is your life.
Okay. Sort of like a bloopers and practical jokes kind of a thing.
I'm a man.
He doesn't know that we've replaced his appearance with Folger's Crystal. Oh, I wonder if
he's about to meet the rodent mixed with a human.
I wonder if there's going to be shouting. I wonder if there's going to be shouting.
Will break changed.
Seriously.
Oh, no,
to shout.
No, he doesn't.
Yes.
No.
Both carry much weight.
He speaks in a whisper and it resonates everywhere.
The gravity of a black hole, that man.
He's in the kitchen.
I can't crane your neck.
No, I can't. I'm trying to look around the corner. No, I'm hoping.
Somebody's about to hear the words they've heard so many times before.
You don't need to be in today, or ever. So thanks.
That would be great.
Can you see me at 4:55 on Friday? All right. Fight Club tonight, 11 p.m. $3.
$3 to get in, and it's going to be fantastic. And we encourage no fighting. But if I think they break out.
I got to say this now, just and I only we missed the part where you were talking about. I think we missed it.
It was Tim saying that he had fake hair, and then I was making fun of his Johnny Depp hat.
Fantastic. And then there was the moment earlier on when Tim was saying, no, he's starting his big comeback tour. Anyway, so there you go. So that's a little bit of awkwardness. So however awkward that was on Friday, it's even more so now as we realize that Art Alexakis was in the kitchen hearing us say every one of those things.
And, well, now we know why they were glaring at
him. I'm not even going to ask him to clarify what he meant when he said he's going to meet the half-man, half-rodent. Because I have no idea.
I don't remember the context of that.
I don't remember.
It's one of those things you had to be there for.
It's okay. Doesn't matter. It's fine. 503-733-2970. We should get, we'll get these two calls. Then we'll break. We'll have Peter Carlin join us. Later on, Scotty J's top five songs to which he gets down and makes love. Later on, Jim Roop joining us as well. And a furry will be in the studio, a furry named James. Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Scott.
It's that pesky line again.
Hey, no, you know what it is? Here's what it is. What I now realize is with this new phone system, when a line drops or when a caller is no longer there, it doesn't drop on the board. The telos box, and I'm speaking now just basically to Jeff McGinley. The telos doesn't drop it, and the call screen doesn't drop it. So I don't know when people are no longer on hold. So let's just make a note to ourselves, because this is Scott who sent the presents, but he's no longer there. But it doesn't tell me when a caller is no longer there. And I don't know how we fix that. Somebody else fix it. Barry.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, the last caller, I think his name was Kevin, that said they booed Muhammad when they announced him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy's name is Musin, so everybody, all the Chicago fans were going, Moose.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't boo, it was moo, moos.
Right. It was Musin Muhammad.
All right, excellent. All right, well, thank you for clarifying that, sir.
You bet, thanks.
There you go. Thank you. That's Barry. Excellent. Okay, I'll get one more here. Kevin. And, okay, they were done. 503, I know this sounds bad, but I kind of like it when they're not there because it makes it easier to get it done. You know, makes it easier to move through all the calls if they're all a second and a half long. Kevin, not there. Barry, not there. Ted, not there. Dave, not there. Done. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up around the corner, headlines with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, Peter Karm from the Oregonian, Scotty J's Top 5. Next hour, Jim Roop and a furry. Stay there. Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up in a few minutes, headlines with Tim Riley, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, Scotty J's Top 5 Lovemaking Songs. The best part is just watching the skin actually crawl off of your body when I say that. Let's see. What else? A guy in a furry costume will be here in the 2 o'clock hour. 503. Oh, we never did find out the answer to the guy who was going to propose to his girlfriend. Except this, let's see. Rick, the reason that no one saw the guy proposing to his girl in the Super Bowl is because it didn't happen. CBS said no. Well, what the hell is that all about? They cheesed out at the last moment. By the way, the Rick Emerson Show saved my life. Well, I do what I can. I don't understand, blah, blah, blah. Well, whatever. Well, I guess we'll find out. Yeah, Rick, if they were running Billy Joel through an auto-tune, it certainly didn't reach my house. He was so flat that I felt sorry for him. When he first started singing, it was like he was grabbing for a note. Any note. How sad. I'm hoping he was drunk. At least then it would be an excuse. It just sounded terrible. And I think he does. Now, I may be wrong about this, but my recollection is that Billy Joel at one point had an alcohol problem. Is that true? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I believe he's been to rehab more than once.
Yeah, well, and I know that he tried to kill himself by drinking a bottle of shoe polish at one point, so that doesn't bode well for your life. Ladies and gentlemen at the ministry... Oh, I'm sorry, that's my
fault. Are we going to Peter?
No, we're going to do this first, and then that... Hello, Scott.
Yeah, Rick.
This is Scott who gave us the presents for Christmas. And by presents, I mean for Sarah and Scotty.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. Belated birthday to Tim. I actually got you two presents, Rick.
And what were the presents you got for me, sir?
Well, they're in a Christmassy-looking bag somewhere for people that get sick and tired of wrapping presents.
What? Now, may I ask what they were? Because maybe they just didn't find their way to me.
Well, they were shipped all in the same box, so I don't... Somebody's stealing from you, then.
I'm not saying...
I got you a T-shirt and a pop-up book of phobias.
Ah, the book I got. Now, the T-shirt did not find its way my way, but the pop-up book of phobias I got, but it was sort of loose. It was sort of like off, and it was separate from the other presents, so that explains that.
Somebody's been sorting through it.
Well, that's in radio. You just sort of assume that anything that's left unattended for more than 5 minutes, that's why I never drink anything or eat anything that was, like, not sealed.
That's right.
Because you just assume somebody's licked it.
Yeah.
Now, the pop-up book of phobias, remind me to show this to you later, this book the guy gave me.
Is that creepy?
It is totally creepy. It is just what it sounds like, the pop-up book of phobias, and, like, you turn to the spider page, and a huge spider pops up off the page.
Well, there's one in there. The one for Sarah is exceptionally good, because if you wiggle the page just right, the flaming engine kind of rolls by the window.
He got me a pop-up book of phobias, and the first one is an airplane, and as you open it, it, like, tilts crazily, and there's, like, fire. And
that's not cool.
And then there's a clown one that's pretty creepy, too. That is fantastic. So thank you, sir.
And before I go, Rick.
Yes.
And I'm only going to mention this because I know how crazy you get when people say nuclear.
Yeah.
The month is, in fact, pronounced February.
But that's stupid.
It's only stupid because everybody pronounces it wrong.
Well, why would they... Okay, why would you spell something... Like, what is the purpose of coming up with a name and spelling it that way?
Well, who the hell knows? I didn't do it.
Is that something that we can blame the Romans for?
Probably, yeah.
All right. Goddamn Romans. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
I got that stuff. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Peter Carlin. Let's go to the Ministry of Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your personal savior, prophet, president, seer, and revelator, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It's the case of two molesting nuns. A woman is filed a $2.5 million lawsuit claiming two nuns sexually abused her at her two Catholic schools. This happened in the 1950s, early 60s. The plaintiff only goes by the name of BGJ. She claims the mother superior and another mother repeatedly abused her at the Holy Child Academy of former Portland school. The lawsuit names the American province of the society the Holy Child Jesus is behind this, so we'll find out what happens. Meanwhile,
I'm going to skip the obvious jokes, the holy child and the two molest nun and the, we suspect the church is behind it.
Yes. Well, we have the Super Bowl commercials, but we'll do them just a little bit later. Meanwhile, we have Hillary Clinton, who is calling the troop surge an ill-conceived escalation.
If I had been president in October of 2002, I would not have started this war. If we in Congress don't end this war before January 2009 as president, I will.
Here's the thing. You got to know this just now. I had my headphones turned as low as I could possibly get them, and it's like that voice was still a pickaxe going into the side. It was still like an awl being shoved into the side of my head. That voice, and I know that this is a shallow, superficial thing, but goddammit, that's how Americans vote, so we need to address it. That voice is going to be her undoing. She needs to get some surgery on those vocal cords, like right now. That voice is going to keep... That voice
maybe
cuts
she needs to
grass.
Do a sweetener.
Something. They need to auto-tune it. They need to pro tools her. Every time she goes out, that voice is going to be her undoing. Not everybody's Fran Drescher, all right? Not everybody has the big cans to get past having the world's most irritating, honking voice. That's what that is right there. Good God almighty.
Meanwhile, Malak Osama and Barack Obama noted that he opposed the Iraq war from the start.
We've got 130,000 Americans fighting halfway across the world in a war that should have never been waged, led by leaders who have no plan to end it.
That's
we
presidential
all have
voice.
Responsibility now to put forth a plan that offers the best chance of ending the bloodshed and bringing the troops home.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's a voice you hear coming through the speaker. It's a fireside chat. You feel good, you feel warm, you feel comforted. That's a voice the American people can get behind right there.
And there's Senator John Edwards.
In changing course in Iraq is the first step in trying to restore America's moral leadership in the world, and the world needs us. They need us so badly. We are the only stabilizing force in the world, and all of us see the chaos that results when we can't provide that stabilization.
I take back what I said earlier. I said a couple years ago that he would eventually be president in some year or another, but I take it back. I think his time has passed. I think he's just too slick sounding. I think he's just too slick. He seems too formulated, too homogenized, too processed, too pasteurized. I think he simply seems, whether he is or not, I think he seems a little too contrived and calculated for the American public. He's just too, and he seems like a fake Southerner. I mean, I know he really is a Southerner, but he didn't really seem like one. He seems like a guy who's kind of put... It's like how even real British accents can sound fake sometimes. It's like he's got a Southern accent that sounds fake. Mm-hmm. The American people will not be voting for him for... The highest he'll ever get is vice president. I'm calling that out right now.
Here's somebody else who's going to run into trouble pretty soon. John McCain.
We'll see a bloodletting in Baghdad that makes Srebrenica look like a Sunday school picnic. And I believe that we may have to come back at some time or another because the Iranians will be involved, the Sunnis will be involved, Turkey will be, if the Kurds try to become independent, will be involved.
John McCain. And you know who's about to become involved? Who will knock him right off the map? Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, that's...
Any day now, we'll say goodbye to John McCain because all the poll numbers, even New Hampshire and all these know-nothing states, put Giuliani clearly ahead.
Yep.
Of McCain.
And McCain will self-destruct. That's the other thing about McCain. He can't control that temper of his.
Nope.
They will get him out there and they'll poke him and they'll prod him and he'll snap and he'll say something behind a microphone, Howard Dean style. It's my new car alarm. Oh, God, no, they'll get McCain behind the microphone, and they will jab at him until he snaps, and he will say something, and they'll hang him with it, and they'll put it around his neck like a millstone, and he will sink to the bottom of lake politics with that. So, all right.
I had been president...
You're evil, Tim.
I think we chose poorly in giving to...
I like this new concoction I have here.
All right. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will do the top five with Scotty J. More from Tim Riley. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio... I don't have any sound here. Wait, hold on. Well, let's just play this. Let's just... No, not it either. Let's just welcome Peter Carlin to the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
Hey.
Hey, what's up with you, brother?
Well, I'm just marveling that you think that of the two potential candidates, Giuliani and McCain, you think McCain is going to self-destruct before Giuliani.
I don't think Giuliani can be elected, but I don't think he'll self-destruct before McCain.
No, self-destruction is why he won't be elected.
Giuliani or McCain?
Giuliani. Well, I was in New York. I lived in New York during his... aborted Senate campaign with Hillary.
Now, see, my thing is, and I mean, because so you have obviously your own perspective on it. My thing is that he can't be elected because he's pro-choice, pro-stem cells, pro-gay rights, and he's a divorced adulterer.
Yeah, multiple times.
I mean, yeah, and so I mean, and he's trying to run for the Family Values Party, and that's just not going to work. I mean, there's no way. It's not that most Republicans aren't evil. They are. Most people are evil. It's just that bank of evangelical Christians. God love them, and you know what? Say what you will about them being crazed nutcases, because for the most part they are. But the thing about those evangelicals is they do walk the walk. I mean, that's they have their own set of particularly twisted and skewed and completely incomprehensible beliefs, but they do stick to them. And Giuliani,
like Ted Haggard?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. But when they go, when those.
Or, what's his name? Was it not Falwell, but...
But that's what I'm
Robertson?
Saying. As soon as those guys fall astray, as soon as those guys, a guy like Tag Haggard comes out, or who was that other guy? There was some other guy, like a few weeks after him, the same thing. It was like some nutcase preacher that was like, at a bathhouse somewhere. They are like cut off and excommunicated immediately. I mean, it's like that's a community that does not... Regardless of what they say, my experience, they don't forget, they don't forgive, and it's like, and you are outcast the minute you color outside the lines. And there's no way that they would ever bring Ted Haggard back, and there's no way that they'd support Giuliani, not publicly.
Well, I don't know. I thought you were supposed to love the sinner.
Well, don't look at me, brother. I'm just saying, however evil people may be on the inside, whatever evangelicals, whatever, Stephanie Miller calls them crystal Methodists, which is great. I wish I thought of it. I mean, whatever sins or hypocrisies they may engage in private, in public, there is no group of people that toes the line more than evangelicals, and they will never come out and support a candidate like Giuliani, who so publicly is opposed to everything they believe in. There's no way. They'll stay home. They'll stay home and vote for nobody. That's why that guy won't be elected. McCain, and I do believe this, it's not that McCain is insane, but he is a little unstable in the sense that you can tell he just has a temper, and you can tell that the mission, the panel plan, is just to push him until he breaks, to push him until he says something on mic that they can just beat him with until he's out of the race. That's my thing. What do you mean when you say that Giuliani will self-destruct?
Well, when he was running in, or was beginning to run in this, what was going to be obviously a very hotly contested race with Hillary, that was when he began to have that affair.
Right.
Which is, of course, not a good idea in any town, let alone a media capital like New York City. And his behavior just got more erratic, and he just became, and then he got sick, which was kind of a problem too, but it just seemed like he just started going berserk. He's kind of a classic schoolyard bully in the sense that he prefers to go up against people who have absolutely no hope beating him, and that when he's actually confronting a real, he's much, much less comfortable with a fair fight.
Right,
that way.
Right. I really, really regret that we didn't get to see him and Hillary run against each other in New York. I mean, just, even though it wasn't a presidential race, even just a Senate race, that would have been, nirvana on earth for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that we might in any conceivable way get to see that in 2008, I mean, it's just, it makes me so happy I don't even let myself think about it. Because if it doesn't happen, I'll just be crushed.
Yeah.
I mean, so anyway. So I don't know who the Republicans are going to end up putting up, but I mean, it seems like a given that it's going to be, that it's going to be Hillary and Obama. Because there's nobody else. The Democrats have, and even the Democrats, as dumb and as defeatist as they are, and as self-undermining as they are, even they got to know that Hillary and Obama are their best chance this time around.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I agree with you about that particular ticket.
Because
I don't think Hillary, I think she's, we talked about this last week, she's a trifle divisive. I mean, and I feel like, people like me should love her, and I don't. And you are making fun of her, and you should like her too. I mean, I find her to be, I think, a hugely substantive and interesting person who probably would be a much better president than the vast majority of people who are edging toward the race or already in it, but I have a hard time imagining like all those red state people even imagining voting for her.
Yeah, but the two things about Hillary Clinton are this. A, that here's the one big advantage Hillary Clinton has, is that right now, I think by all conventional polling, I think every political poll so far says that Hillary Clinton beats any white male who runs against her, meaning when you, the factor of when they put her up against a whole series of candidates and then they poll. And they say of all of the candidates on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton beats any white male opponent. Which means, of course, if he threw some weird curveball like Condi Rice or somebody in there, kind of screws everything up. But given that she will probably be running against a white guy, she beats all of them. And the great thing about that is, from the Democratic point of view, is, I'm just sort of speaking strictly in sort of real politic terms, is that Hillary's polarizing is already done. You know what I mean? Like, the damages are... There's nobody who's going to wake up tomorrow who hates her who's suddenly going to like her, but there's nobody who likes her now who probably is going to end up voting against her. I mean, it's like she has polarized. The numbers are where they're going to be. She's not going to have any more drop-off. And so she's a safe bet. It's not like Obama where they're going to, you know, as time goes on, the glow will fade and the honeymoon period will be over and they'll tear him down.
Well, but here's the deal, though. Since we're already just like a year away from even the very first primaries, can you imagine what can happen between now and then?
I can, but I can't look unless they find actual, literal skeletons, like of children, in one of Hillary Clinton's closets. I can't imagine what they would find. I mean, they spend like $50 million investigating Whitewater and found nothing. So I can't imagine what they could do to her at this point that would lose her any more points with the people who already don't like her. So, I mean, she's, you know, she's where she's going to be. The other thing is that, I mean, you say that nobody likes Hillary Clinton. They find it. I don't know anybody who liked John Kerry, and he came within 300,000 votes of winning. So I don't think that, you know, it's not an, I mean, I don't think you have to like Hillary Clinton. I think you have to hate the idea of Republicans winning the White House again. That's all I'm saying. So,
yeah,
you write down the date and time Rick Emerson said these things, and then you will note in many years that I was correct, Peter Carlin. Hey, did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you like TiVo it and skip through?
Oh, I watched the whole thing.
What did you think of the halftime show?
I thought it was really cool. I thought Prince was I mean, he's so fabulous. I mean, he's a weird little dude. That's for real.
Yes.
But in terms of, like, well, I mean, and again, I'm speaking wholly in the terms of Super Bowl halftime shows.
Why?
It's like, he was like as real and spontaneous and cool as any that I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, for a guy who can just turn in such a lackluster show because he's so talented, he doesn't have to try very hard.
Yeah.
And so he can really, I've seen that guy just phone it in sometimes where he just doesn't even want to be there. And that guy really went all out. And it's the sort of thing that you could easily go badly. Because a Super Bowl halftime show can be so corny like that, even with a great performer like that hideous thing that Paul McCartney did a couple years ago. Where it's like, you know, your skin's actually trying to get off of your body. It's crawling so much.
I can't even remember what Paul did.
He sang that it was after 9/11, or it was the Super Bowl right after the boob bearing. It was whatever the next one was. There was Janet Jackson, and like the next year, right, it was Paul McCartney. He sang that song called Freedom.
Oh yeah, it's a horrible song.
You know,
You know what? Those were two discrete shows. I think he played. He did like a pregame thing in January 2002, and then he sang that Freedom song. Which is totally SUX.
Right, yeah.
One of the interesting things about that song is that it's another great example of a McCartney song that has a really great melody, a really striking and bracing, heart-rending.
But it's totally ass.
But the words make no sense, and they particularly make no sense considering the emphasis he's always placed on peace and love and all that stuff. And this song essentially says, like, if you push us around, we're going to come and kill you.
Right.
Which is like, which I don't think he intended to mean, but in the context of, you know, and of course it says ham-fisted. And
well, that's the thing about McCartney. The overriding instinct in Paul McCartney's body is to be loved.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like me, love me. You know,
love.
That's his whole thing. So, I want to touch on this real quick, because we kind of got to you late today. So for that, Rick Emerson apologizes. But you teased this thing when you were in the studio very graciously with us last Thursday in our exciting new studios here on First Avenue. You teased this conversation you had with Michael Chiklis from The Shield.
Yeah.
And so was this when you were in L.A. for that thing a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
So The Shield has what, two seasons left?
Yep.
And I have said, and I've said this so many times now, that the tale has gone stale, undoubtedly, that they are so close to having a perfect series there. If they bring the series down, the curtain down in two seasons, I mean, if they can keep it up, that program has been as close to flawless as you can get so far. And it's been one long, continuous storyline, interspersed with some other sort of short-term arcs. And they are within, what frustrates me and makes me a little terrified, is that they are within striking distance of wrapping it up and having a flawless television program from front to back. And I'm so afraid that they're going to F it up somehow. It's just because that's happened to so many TV shows that try to last past, you know, five seasons.
Mm.
So what did Chiklis have to say about The Shield and the future of the show?
Well, he wasn't planting any spoilers out there. I mean, I think essentially what it came down to was the fact that Sean Ryan, the guy that created and runs the show, they're sketching out exactly how they want to bring their stories to an end. And, you know, the way they were sketching it out and how they wanted to develop the plot and the characters, they figured that this was going to take two seasons. I think they went into that process expecting it was only going to take one. But, you know, you get into something and your mind begins to spin and little, you know, threads begin to emerge. And so I assume I don't think it's a question of him thinking, well, you know, I really want to hang on and get another year of money, you know, squeeze another year of cash out of this. I don't think it was that. It's only because he co-created the unit on
right.
CBS, which I have to think is getting him a lot more money each week than The Shield is,
right.
You know, off of FX cable. But that's, you know, so I have every reason to believe that they know exactly, you know, it's not like they're going to get into that last season and suddenly all look around and not have any idea where they're headed anymore.
I hope so, because,
you know, where suddenly Vic Mackey's younger cousin shows up, you know.
Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy. Teddy, right.
And because, I mean, that's happened with, you know, the X-Files. I mean, it happened with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It happened to a lot of us where it reaches its logical conclusion, and then the network just dangles enough money that they go, well, I'll pad it for a couple of years.
Yeah, no, so. I don't think that's what happened.
Do you think, I don't think anybody has any way of knowing this, do you think The Shield ends with Vic Mackey going to prison? Because I've heard a lot of people speculate that.
Could be. It could just end up with him having gotten away with it, having to live with himself, which in some ways is that the even worse kind of prison. We are all prisoners.
Do you know if Forrest Whitaker's coming back?
I believe he is.
Oh, fantastic.
But I don't know that, but I believe he is.
Oh, man, that guy.
It's only because they didn't write him out, like they did Glenn Close.
That guy, so much gravity. I mean, that's a presence you can feel, like, in the next house. You know what I mean? That guy.
Yeah.
So, excellent. All right, Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian, online at OregonLive.com. You got to come back and hang in the studio with us again, my friend.
Oh, I'm so down.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen, there you go, from the Oregonian. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We come back, we'll talk to Mike. We have the top five. Scotty J's top five love-making songs of all time. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth here in about 4 minutes. And apparently James the Furry Guy is here, so we'll get to that as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.